Amen. And I know he's got good things from the Word of God. Let's open our hearts and our minds today.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
That was quick.
Go ahead and take a seat, Greg, if you want. Man, I'm tired. I don't know about you guys. Well, it doesn't look like the ladies are tired at all. Bouncing around like crazy people. How powerful was that to see Sister Arlene? Yep. The devil has nothing for that. You can't keep someone down. You can cry for the rest of the night and you're still going to be in victory. That's a powerful thing. Very powerful thing. Amen. Amen. The military, we had something that was called AAR, after we would do something, after action review. And so it consisted of like giving you would talk about what the mission had consisted of, and then you would, I'm just going to talk for a little while, if you guys don't mind. And you'd describe the mission you went on, and then you'd say what were three things that we could fix, or, you know, do better, and then three things that we did good. And you quickly learn that, you know, that you're just going through the motions because they aren't going to change anything, you know. So it's kind of a waste of time, besides the fact you've been up all night pretty much. And so it's like, I'm just ready to go home. I remember once, for whatever reason, on a mission we were on, a load came loose. And so the car stopped and the dude just jumps out without his weapon, goes running to the back, starts trying to fix the load. And so it kind of like went in panic mode a little bit. And they sent me out there, so I'm all geared up, ready to go. Got all kinds of tape hanging off me like I'm some medic Rambo. And pulling security for him, but the MRAP that was supposed to be blocking us from the neighborhood, it was pulled way up. And so after that mission, I brought that up. And of course, they made excuses for, you know, well, we had you covered with the 50 cal. Well, you didn't really have us covered because we weren't blocked from the neighborhood, you know, but I wasn't worried about that just because I knew about my mother praying for me. You know, that brings up something real quick, that women, you guys have a prayer that men can't pray. My mom prayed it because she made a covenant with God that she wouldn't cut her hair. And so she put that covenant on the line with God and said, I've never cut my hair, Jesus, and so you're going to take care of Michael while he's over there in Iraq. That's a powerful thing. I never had fear. I wasn't scared. I mean, it wasn't that, you know, we were in a different time, but that's a powerful prayer, woman. Powerful prayer. I didn't know about that until years later. But anyways, so there's a few things I just want to talk about with this last revival. So it's going to be AAR without you guys being able to talk back. It's pretty cool. One of the things, though, because this was a Holy Ghost push, and as far as visitors go and all that, we didn't necessarily have that accomplished, but that means nothing as far as what was done and what we experienced and things we saw. And so the unity that was there Tuesday night was spectacular. We had Soldatna and Homer, and then Kenai was represented, and it was just such a powerful move of God's Spirit. And that was thinking about that later on, meditating with God like I do, and he told me, well, I kind of asked him, but he told me that, like, in that kind of environment right now, in order for us to express our unity, we're going to pray for a lot of Pentecostals, and God's going to touch them. But if we're praying for each other, it's not necessarily going to happen. He's wanting Soldatna to pray for us, that kind of a deal, to work with unity. That's a powerful thing. That's what happened. It just happened organically on Tuesday. It's a powerful, powerful principle, because with unity and then the love of God, that opens the dimension of creative miracles. And that's just a beautiful thing. Jasmine, our 4-year-old daughter, received the gift of the Holy Ghost the same day that Brother Armstrong received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's a powerful thing. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Brother Armstrong, Acts 10, 44, 48, Cornelius and his household, they received the Holy Ghost while he was preaching. So after they received the Holy Ghost, he then commanded them to be baptized in Jesus' name. So after you receive the Holy Ghost, it's a command. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You can schedule it at after hours or do what you want to do, but it's a command in the Bible, 1047. But what a wonderful thing to see that and see that the four-year-old and Brother Armstrong, solid Brother Armstrong. Man, I'll say everybody got shook up when that happened, huh? I've never seen so many tears appear in everyone's eyes at the same time. Sister Marie had a powerful breakthrough. I don't know why I paused on that, but when she started running those aisles, that was beautiful, very beautiful. You know, God's given us the ability to basically free ourselves anytime we choose or to break through into another dimension anytime we choose. Even demonic possession, I've coached people through getting deliverance themselves. They've been baptized in Jesus' name, you got the Holy Ghost. When you finally make up your mind, you can choose to get victory on your own. You don't even need help. So that's always available to us, and it's those radical moves like what Maria did that brought that powerful touch of the Spirit that was over there with her and Sister Esther. So that's a wonderful thing. Rick Abbott, two times, stepped into the dimension of intercessory prayer. That was powerful, powerful. Tuesday when he walked up here, it broke that open. Like there was a shredding in the Spirit, and that's when that began to just explode, that intercessory prayer. When you see Brother Abbott bucked over like that, you don't need to touch him. You don't need to pray for him. When you're praying intercessory prayer, you need to concentrate on what you're doing. You're concentrating on that burden, and you're pushing it. Sometimes you're having to, like, do it this, like, the slow, however way God's choosing to use that and push through in your body and in your spirit. And so I encourage you, when you see Brother Abbott or somebody else, when they're in a dimension of that kind of a prayer, just leave them be a little bit. I know initially for me it was pretty distracting. And it's, people aren't doing it out of bad will or anything, you know. They're wanting to be, you know, praying with each other and seeing him getting deep in prayer, or me getting deep in prayer, anybody getting deep in prayer, you have a tendency to just want to join, but it can be very distracting. And then next thing you know, you're listening to them, you know, and then you're judging them, you know, like you're you're missing it. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, how powerful was that when Holly was hit right here? Powerful, powerful touch. That was like right after Rick. Boom. It was beautiful. And that'll break open song service like nothing else can. When they see someone getting touched powerfully as they're singing. Wow. I was talking to God about that too. Well, I was talking to God after that service, and I was like, man, it was so awesome. You know, there was four churches total represented, you know, on Tuesday. And he said, no. He said, there's at least five. I was like, oh, yeah, the Bartletts. You know, I forgot about that. And he said, well, yeah, the Bartletts. He goes, but the Bartletts aren't the fifth church. The fifth church is shut up in Holly's womb. Methods change. Biblical principles never do until Zion travails. Be no spiritual children born. And he said he's given you strength to do that. And of course, we know that. Yes. Amen. That shook me up a little bit when I got that. So as Holly was gripped over here, and that powerful presence that she was feeling in her spirit, basically intercessory prayer, Sharon, when in prayer, she saw the hem of the garment of Jesus sweep over this place. And so then when she opened her eyes, Holly was bent over. So how amazing is it when we touch the hem of his garment? And if that was the hem of his garment, what happens when he stops in? settles in. Man. Woo. It's so awesome to see Troy praying back through. That was awesome. He did it easy, too. Easy. Very fantastic also to see Amelia digging back in, even requesting some kind of prayer from Brother Cornejo, but right there at the end, and getting into that power that she's been blessed with, and she's protected under this envelope or this umbrella of spiritual authority. And so then as she grows in her scriptural knowledge, she'll be able to do it more outside of the church. But right now, inside the church, she's safe, and she can go, and she's powerful, very powerful. So that was awesome, very awesome. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm not going to hit on everything. That impartation the last night, that was something, wasn't it? I believe it's the missing element that the Apostolic Church has been without. And something has switched. I know like this spring with Greg, my twin brother up here, we had talked quite a bit about it. And we're kind of, that was when we are personally, we're getting the revelation of our need for it. But now everywhere you look, every conference, impartation is happening, taking place. It's amazing. Every conference, Australia, down in California, it's the will of God for this hour. It's because God has designed us to depend on each other. And if I don't respect you enough to think that you can give me anything, then I'm going to be lacking something inside my spirit that only you can give me. And that's that whole concept of impartation. And then plus when we get into an atmosphere like was created with Brother Cornejo, pushing the gift of faith, then it turns into a very powerful impartation that goes into, it's a spiritual thing we receive by faith. And it's not something we push. It's something we cultivate. Once it's in, we cultivate it. We aren't pushing like immediately thinking that we got it. God's going to build our character. God's going to make sure that we stay safe. And so then when it comes up or when we get that extra feeling of push, then we got to exercise it or we lose it. I think it's pretty clear that we were all given the same measure of faith. I don't believe anyone got more faith than anyone else. But some people just have exercised it, pushed their faith, and it's grown. That's how that works. And for some reason, people fall out. It's very interesting to me. I know the first time was with when Soldado Pentecostals were here, and Brother Greg Glover had Pastor Glover pray for them, and Brother Mendenhall pray for us. The Soldado guys just started to kind of drop. And then when Brother Robinette was here, same thing, people dropping. And it's just something about that. I don't know if it's just the strength of it or, you know, I can't really explain it. It happened again Thursday night, that's for sure. I definitely didn't plan on falling out. Next thing you know, I'm on the ground going, what in the world? Phoebe's not even picking me up. I'm not sure if that's important to receive the impartation, but it just seems to be something that happens. So it's not like if I didn't fall down, I didn't get it. But I mean, it's something I've noticed, which is pretty interesting. But remember, it's received by faith and submission. 2 Timothy 1:6-7 is when Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's telling him that, I know for a fact you have a gift because I laid my hands on you, Timothy, and it's time for you to stir that up. And God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And he was pushing that, and he knew he had given him a gift because he had laid his hands on him. It's that impartation of laying on the hands. Joshua had wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on his head. He had the spirit of wisdom from him. Same with those 70 elders. It's that impartation. And it's very powerful, and I'm not sure how it's going to work. I know I'm not going to weird you guys out. Yeah, I will. I was a couple years ago with my granddad passing away. Felt like I had a word if I would go and I would completely honor him by mourning and mourning him in a way that, you know, was worthy of a man like him, that I was also going to receive spiritual impartation from him. And so I did. It set me back probably 3 months, actually, even with strength. I cried so much. But I remember on the plane ride back from Portland to here, all of a sudden I started to pick up stuff like lust and forget what the other thing was. I was like, this ain't me. I don't have a problem with this kind of stuff. What's going on here? You know, I plead the blood of Jesus. And God said, it's that extra sensitivity your granddad had. And so you're picking up on the people around you, whereas before you weren't. And that's how that impartation works with him, which is a very, very powerful thing. And it, I have it. I know I do. We need it. We need it. So we can only impart what we have, what we've used, what we've proved. You can only bring someone in prayer to the level of prayer that you've been. You can only lead a group of people to the level of prayer that you've been. So that's what we remember when we're doing this impartation. And you don't let anyone just lay their hands on your head either. So how that worked was Jesse, Brother Cornejo, was operating under the umbrella or authority of Pastor Glover. Pastor Glover had delegated it to him. And so then when he was pushing the gift of faith, he then released Brother Wicker to start imparting the gift of faith, which released his gift to begin to work. And so that's how that whole thing works. It's that, it's the respect, it's the submitting one to another of spiritual authority that makes that even possible. If Brother Wicker would have started doing it by himself without Brother Cornejo enabling him to, it wouldn't happen. Not the same way. Spiritual authority and submission is so important in the kingdom of God, and it's so hard. I don't believe you have to have a great attitude about it necessarily. You got to do it, and then you work on your attitude. You don't have to be a pushover. It's not easy. I was told no last week, and I really didn't care for that. So it was a growing experience for me. So then that's when you go, well, I guess I am under spiritual authority, you know. But he is my dad, so I don't know if he's acting like my dad right now or if he's acting like my dad. No, I'm just joking. So this revival was a success. I want you guys to know that every prophecy that's been spoken here, all the promises that have been spoken, even in services like Brother Hernandez saying that the French's prayers or things they talked about that we don't even know about in their home, that God was going to start answering those. Every one of that's going to take place here. It is going to take place. I don't want us to get discouraged, and I don't want us to start thinking like, what do we need to do? Or start thinking like, I'm doing this, I wish someone else was doing that. Let's just focus on ourselves and keep growing in our walks with God, and it's going to happen. God's timing in accordance with our obedience and submission, repentance. Israel, 430 years in Egypt. One night they left with the riches of Egypt. You know, not one of them couldn't walk out of there. Not one of them. They all walked. There wasn't any lame. Mm-hmm. Joseph went into slavery. Who knows what happened to him, for real? He was good looking. Who knows what happened to him as a slave? Then he goes to Potiphar's house, gets lied on, goes to jail. God helps him interpret a few dreams, then he gets forgotten again. And then in 24 hours, he goes from being in the jail and being a Hebrew to being number two in the most powerful nation in the world at that time, Egypt. 24 hours. David was anointed king, called a stripling by King Saul after killing Goliath. Think about that. He spent the next 13 years running from somebody that he could have killed a few times, but it was the anointed, and that was, he wouldn't touch God's anointed. But it was 13 years. We know Abraham was 25. My favorite guy in the Bible is Moses. You can turn to Psalms 90 if you want. He waited 40 years. When he's 40 years old, he stepped out. And in Acts, they talk about that he just assumed that everyone knew that he was had been called to deliver Israel from Egypt. And so he kills that Egyptian with his bare hands. That's not easy to do, by the way. But then it's another 40 years. So he's in the wilderness now for 40 years. And it's not until he's 80 years old that the burning bush experience happens. The worst thing we can do is get impatient or start looking at who to blame. Who needs to be, you know, I know one thing, like, I don't know if Pastor Glover's had anybody ask him about, like, having a church-wide fast and prayer to break through a stronghold or get some kind of victory, or, you know, I'm not sure if we've had any ideas like that come up, but we definitely haven't tried that yet. So we're definitely not out of just your basic options right now. And as we begin to witness and begin to step out in faith, like Brother Cornejo was telling us, challenging us to do. You know, I was like, he's missing it. This was going to be a deep move of God. He's missing it. And God said, you guys need a, and it was like this, seriously, deep move of God. Like you need like a toothache. You need to hear this. Oh, he gave me those, though. That hurt. But Moses, he knew, when he's talking about time here with God, number one, in verse 2, in 90 verse 2, everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's our God. So then in verse 4, 1,000 years in thy sight are but yesterday. And so we go by hours sometimes, we go by minutes, and it's too long. Our life expectancy in verse 10 is 70 years, which is 70 years, which if when we talk about the parable of the fig tree, that's Israel. They're at 70 years right now. And that generation isn't going to pass away until God comes. So that's any day now. Yeah. So teach us to number our days, verse 12, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. And then that last verse, and let the beauty or grace and favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. It's the waiting. It's the in-between. That's when we're getting our flesh worked on. I don't know about you, but I get pretty agitated sometimes in my spirit because I can feel like it's just like right barely out of my reach. It's like, am I ever going to see it? But I do know I can consecrate more. I do know I can make my own personal covenant with God because we can do that. And God honors those. So if I'm real serious, then maybe I should take a look at the time I spend and the time towards the kingdom, and maybe make some changes where I put things away for forever, step away from things forever. In a roundabout way, ending up here with these 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish in Matthew 25. See, I was backslidden for 20 years. So great to see you, Kim. We have such a long, long history. Many, many years. So very, very nice to see you. But I was backslidden for 20 years at least. And so I became a pro at revivals, things like that, coming up, lifting my hands and getting through the service without, you know, really praying through or really doing anything. But I was clapping my hands. I always enjoyed preaching no matter what. So I enjoyed preaching, but I was dead inside at that point. But I was still coming to revivals. People still thought I was doing okay. There were some people that were shocked when they found out some of the things that were going on. So that's what worries me. Here is people falling through the cracks. Because we're gonna have a great worship service. And I can almost tell you exactly who's gonna worship, how they're gonna worship. Then we're going to have a great altar service. But who's slipping through the cracks? Because any day now, we're going to get this call, behold, the bridegroom cometh. You know, the only proof I have, or the only evidence initially of you having the Holy Ghost is what? So technically, if you're going to do a quick check, I would think you should be able to speak in tongues right now. And if you can't, that might be something you need to think about here with this oil. Pastor Glover was talking about hell a little bit in his lesson. There's so many different things about it that are so terrible. Pastor Glover saying that there's memory. You're going to be able to go over again and again and again and again and again. If I would only done it that one time. Or I was on fire for God all the way up until like 11:30. Torment. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. This worm dieth not, it actually means which preys on the inhabitants and is a symbol of the wounds inflicted on the man himself by his sins. You know there's not going to be any spirit of God there, and so all the terrors of hell, you're going to be able to feel that. And then fear. Initially, that bottomless pit, that means you're going to feel like you're falling the entire time. Darkness. Man. Can you imagine starting off your bargaining with Abraham with the one drop? Not starting it off with like a big glass of water, you're starting it off with one drop. One of these times, one of these days, like Pastor Glover said, there's going to be the best prayer meeting you ever heard. And it's not going to matter. It's going to be too late. And can you imagine when this rapture takes place, when he takes us, the Gentile bride. By the way, I heard Jeff Arnold again, Misha, and he talked again about that type and shadow with Joseph. And that he married his Gentile bride before the 3.5 years of famine began, pre-rapture, or pre-trib, I'm sorry. So we have those promises, but once the Spirit of God's gone, you think you're going to make it? Left Behind and all the other movies or books or ideas. Can you imagine that without the blood of Jesus, without any protection, just demons of hell. You think you're going to make it? The only chance we have, or the only opportunity we have, is every service. We need to leave every service ready to go to heaven. And then it's this life that's so fragile, so incredibly fragile. I've been incredibly blessed by grace. So times that I've overdosed on pills and times that I've gotten in who knows what because I've blacked out and just knew I had been in a fight of some sort, San Antonio downtown. All those times I've had a devil speak to me once I got back to Iraq when I was in Spokane. I blacked out. I did all kinds of crazy stuff. Woke up in Greg's driveway was my granddad taking the battery out of the vehicle. Had no idea how I got there. Had gotten a fight the night before. Then I missed my return flight back to Iraq. but they were so busy, they never tracked that. So I just got another flight. But when I got to Iraq, I was laying in bed. I'd get attacked by demons. Mostly, I think, when the spirit of alcohol was coming off me. And this time it was a metallic voice, and he said, "I wanted to kill you, Spokane. I wanted to kill you." So I've really been blessed that way with grace. But we don't have that guarantee. Life isn't fair. And so we look at death all the time. I think it numbs us a little bit. How crazy the world is. It's just disgusting to look at the news and see all the different kind of perversions going on. This election cycle, depending on the results, could turn this country like. What kind of stability are we going to have then? There's preachers prophesying that we're going to have persecution, that we're going to experience it in America. But we don't have persecution right now. We have the chance to make sure that we're right. You know the way you do it? Hitanda bakuya tanda mashiatanda mahoyeki anda moyai. Sabiaton debianda hayakatanda mishniki. Sabahayondo hoton debihinda snikiata. Meton debehetan debahayoshniki. Meoton debesanda bahayakatanda. And I wish I could scare hell into us. There's nothing wrong about being scared about going to hell. Bishop Blackshear used to preach us into hell pretty well, is what we felt like. I can't do that. At this point, I don't care to. Pride. There's going to be so many people that just because of their pride, Pastor Glover, they're in hell. They knew that altar call was for me or my chance. I didn't take it. I know that because I've done it. And I've left scared, pleading the blood of Jesus before I go out, knowing I'm just going to try to fight, but pleading the blood of Jesus. Just a wreck. All it takes is an accident. Thomas, you ready to go to heaven? Forever, Misha, forever. Eternity. We don't live for this world. That's what we don't. We can't. Can't afford to. Separation from the world, I'm telling you, is the greatest gift. It's our biggest protection. You know what you struggle with better than anyone else does. So that's why you got to put up guards. Probably should get rid of your phone. It's got to be the saddest thing, though, Pastor Glover, to have a church pushing forward and have people that could possibly go to hell in that church. We have some powerful services. We have powerful services. So if you can handle that without making a move, you're in trouble, man. Can't imagine hearing, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So he prepared it for them. Can you imagine how terrible it is? Man. What do you guys want to do? Jesus, I wish you would lose conviction right now. There's nothing wrong with making sure. Jesus, I've been incredibly unemotional about this, but tried to be very calm. So I'm relying on you to drop down with conviction. I'm relying on you to give us this urgency just to make sure, even though we know, even if we think we know, just to make sure. So very thankful that you've given us authority and power and dominion, but closed off people, it doesn't matter, because you gave them free will. But we can scream and yell. We can do whatever. It's not going to work. Smite their heart, Jesus. Smite all of our hearts. Make us scared of hell. Give us dreams about hell. I don't think I realize how serious this eternity issue is. Or even what your real criteria is. I couldn't imagine standing there knowing, number one, that I screwed up, but then that family members screwed up because of me. I couldn't imagine that. Jesus, keep me from that. Teach me to number my days, like Moses said. Because you are a consuming fire. You don't play. You're going to confirm your word. It's going to come to pass. I say this all the time, but our eternity could start just down the road, truthfully. I can't believe how many people are suicidal in church these days. I'm not saying there anyone here is, but I know Brother Hernandez said we were going to get authority over that. But just think about that. I guess we pretty well do the same thing, though. Pastor Glover, I know you were touching on hell in your lesson. And I got this last night, or even yesterday. I don't know what to do.
I reach out to you. I reach out to you. Even as you reach for that which damages, even as you reach for that which destroys, I reach out to you. Won't you turn to me? Won't you reach for me? I have so much I desire to give you. Reach for me, not for the things that destroy, not for the things that harm you. I want to help you. Reach for me. Oh, my God. Oh, my Jesus. Alabokashabalarangay.